Are you sure this is the right place?
Rachel nudged her chin in the direction of the derelict nightclub just across the street from where the hover cab dropped us off. I understood her misgivings. Back in Celion City, this was the part of town where bodies got dumped after a hit. Investigators would never distinguish the corpses from among the homeless, nor would they pick out the smell. Without giving me a chance to reply, Lars answered over our earcoms.
Yes, Miss Fontaine, this establishment matches the location and description that Mr. O'Raga provided us.
I think she was asking me, buddy, I said to Lars, the beloved but sometimes snarky AI. But we appreciate the confirmation.
And yet I had the answer, sir.
I rolled my eyes at Rachel and then nodded toward the bar. Not exactly Mr. O'Raga's style, is it?
No,
she replied.
But then again, he didn't hire us because of our eye for decorating.
I placed a hand on my chest in mock offense as we crossed the wet street. Are you saying we don't have good taste? She cocked an eyebrow at me from beneath a few strands of black hair.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Fair enough, I conceded. We dodged a hover car and then stepped up on the opposite sidewalk. A hollow sign flickered above us with the words Gance's Dances in tacky yellow lettering. The streets, this deep in Viradia's underbelly, smelled like piss and grease, no doubt because this is where the upper class dumped both. I stretched my back, grateful to be out of the distant horizon, even if it was down here in this hell's hole. Being cooped up in a starship for long periods of time wasn't exactly my usual daily routine. But with my new position in Min O'Raga's off-the-books search-and-retrieve enterprise, I figured I'd better get used to long hours on a starship. It sure beat running the graveyard shift as a security guard. The buildings around us soared upward, disappearing in a haze of clouds that glowed pink in the setting sun. Lars had parked the Horizon on one of the docks near the city's south end, and then we'd hitched a hover cab down to ground level, or zero, as the locals called it. The driver had refused unless we coughed up 300 extra credits. Back on Celion City, I would have threatened the guy with extortion charges, but here I supposed it was just how things ran.
Damn, I felt eyes on me already. Is it, detective?
Rachel said. She was looking at my hand, which instinctively crept inside my coat toward my shoulder holster.
We are only hostiles here if we give them reason to shoot.
And showing up uninvited is reason enough where I come from, I replied. The subsonic pulse of industrial grind music thudded from inside the bar. It was still too early for too many people to be inside, but I suspected that come nightfall, this place would be total chaos. I looked at the doors and then nodded to Rachel. Ladies first. She smiled and walked forward. The doors parted and Rachel made no effort to downplay her entrance. After all, for the next few minutes, she was no longer Rachel Fontaine. Instead, she was Scarlet Mason, underworld elitist with credits to burn and an image to keep up. At least that's what the file that was distributed across the galnet near and far said. She spread her arms and let her black jacket flutter in the air. Her long black hair billowed, undulating in waves, and her thigh-high boots moved in time with the beat of the music that enveloped us. For my part, I was playing the role of a bodyguard. Dark shades, leather jacket, and black cargo pants and boots. Letting Rachel take lead on this part gave me more opportunity to watch our six.
Fine by me.
Plus, based on her performance back in O'Raga's complex, I'd say she had a knack for acting, which only made me more curious about her past that she held so close to her chest.